turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, I believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Oh, praise you. Starting at verse 1, is everybody there? Jesus speaks, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You can read it with me. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Welcome to the pruning season. It's a season of pruning. So you've been doing pretty good lately, huh? That's good. Get ready. It's time to get pruned. You know, we got to welcome the pruning. You know, God begins to expose little things that we thought were all right with us. It's the little things. It's that little thing that, you remember when they gave you the change from the store and you forgot that, oh, they gave me too much? Well, it must be a blessing from the Lord. Hello. And you didn't return it? God begins to expose it now. It's called the pruning season. Remember when you got offended? Hello? Remember you got angry with God because he didn't do what you wanted to do? Amen. Remember when you cut somebody off on purpose because you were angry? Or you said something about that person and you accused every one of them with drove the same? Come on. It's called pruning season. Hallelujah. Why? So you can bear more fruit. Listen, everybody's being exposed. It's exposure time. Look how much of the body of Christ is being exposed. You know, God exposes you privately before he exposes you openly. So you better take care of what's got to be done now before it gets done in front of the public. Hallelujah. Okay. In verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of its what? Hallelujah. Of its what? I'm telling you, I can't shake this thing. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, it's amazing that everybody asks, and they claim the scripture. Come on, man! I'm asking, why isn't it happening? Because most of the time, what we're asking isn't according to God's will. Now, listen. God's timing is God's will. If it's not God's timing, then it's not God's will. So many times people ask out of time, don't they? You know why? Self. Me, myself, and I. Right? Because of what? Self. Because we love to shake hands with anxiety and stress. You know? It's like the military, hurry up and wait. Anybody ever been in the military? Man, you got to hurry up and wait. And that's it. Come on, hurry up and get it. Pack up. Then you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And you wait. So what he says is something very important. He says, listen, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Self is unfruitfulness. Is everybody with me? Self is unfruitful. Now, what we want to talk about tonight is true fruitfulness. We want to be fruity, not nutty. Hello. We don't want to be granola bars out there, which are nutty and fruity. People who are granola bars out there are associating with familiar spirits. They're nutty and fruity. Hello. They want to be so spiritual, but they're actually granola. Hello? Come on, did you ever meet somebody like that? They always have a word for you every time you meet them. I got a word for you. I got a word for you. Repent for associating with those familiar spirits. Every time you meet someone, if they got a word for you, give them a word. Turn around and say, man, I got a word for you. Know the voice of God. Most of the time, somebody's in that circumstance because they're constantly trying to promote self. Somebody keeps coming up to you and says, I got a word for you. Tell them, repent. I'm not saying that, you know, somebody comes up one time, but, you know, sometimes you always see someone, man, I got a word for you. I got a word for you. I got a word for you. Wonderful. What can you give that my Father can't give me? Hello? That's why you and I are supposed to have a relationship, aren't we? Amen? So we can hear God. We know Him. That's the purpose of it. Aren't we supposed to be His children? It says, listen, if you abide in me and I abide in you, man, we'd be down. He said, come on, ask, because you're not going to ask amiss. You're going to ask according to His will. And you're going to get it. Now, it may not be today. Where's your mothers? Mamas? Mamas of these two men. Stand up. God answered your prayers, didn't He? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you wanted it a long time ago. In fact, there were points when you didn't, man, I never know when it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Grandma, where's Grandma? There's Grandma. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandma. God answered your prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you never thought it would come. When, God, believe me, I see it up there. When? It happened. See, sometimes God allows things to delay just so He can get you closer to Him. He's got it all in control. But see, we as self. Self wants things now. Oh, I want it right now. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want it right now. Everyone say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want it right now. I love to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, true fruitfulness. Would you go to John 6, please? John 6. Okay, we'll go there. Glory to God. One time and some people, you know, you got to understand that they just want to get closer to God, so they begin to go over the boundaries, you know, because of self. You know, one time we were at this meeting and this me and Mom were at this meeting, and this woman that was leading this meeting, it was in this small room, and she said, can you feel the heat of the Holy Spirit? I looked at Mom and said, man, somebody needs to open a vent in here. That's the problem. The vents were all shut. It must have been 100 degrees in this room, and they're talking about the Holy Ghost when people are about to pass out. That ain't the anointing. I wanted to get up and stand in a chair and say, listen, here's the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, let's open up the vent now. Oh, hallelujah. Do you feel that heat? Yeah, I feel it all right. Give me a chair. I'm going to open a vent here. Oh, hallelujah. But you know, most of them mean well. We've all become granolas at one time or another. Amen? Praise God. But we can laugh about it now because we've all been there. And some of you that are new, you'll get there. Don't worry about it. You'll know. Uh-oh, you'll go, the Holy Ghost will go, hey, granola. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. Come on, get rid of the nutty and get fruity. Praise God. John chapter 6 and verse 54. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, right. John chapter 6 and verse 54. Is everybody there? Good. Whoever eats of my flesh, says Jesus, and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now he's talking about the Word and the Spirit. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. See, so we have to learn to feed on off of him. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats of this bread will live for what? Forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand this?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" Ooh. He said something powerful. He says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The flesh profits what? Nothing. Now come on, everybody say it. The flesh profits nothing. Amen. Now, what we're going to do is coordinate the arena of self and flesh. Because self profits nothing. Does everybody got it? We'll go into another area here shortly, so just hang tough. Go to John 3. Oh, hallelujah. Now, remember, we've been talking about self. When you and I were born into the world, we were born in darkness, weren't we? Amen? That's why we had to come to light. And the woman that and Adam and Eve were associated with the serpent in the garden, we know that he was a promoter of self, wasn't he? Because pride is what removed him from the presence of God. So what he was trying to do is produce offsprings himself. The only way he could produce offsprings was to impart self. See, because Adam and Eve didn't know what self was. Their whole focus was on God. Amen? They had glorified bodies. They were glorified. They were made eternal. Adam and Eve was not made to die. They were created as an eternal being. Amen? Good. Now, so when you and I were born, we were born in darkness, self. And it's proven by young children. Remember we talked about the kids going around? What did they say? Mine. Gimme. Me, myself, and I. I mean, little children, you can tell, man. I mean, they're full of self, aren't they? Doesn't make them bad. They're just a part of the fallen race. Amen? Because the enemy began to produce offsprings. Hello? We were the offsprings. The Bible even says, even Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth, you know, they were Sadducees because they missed God, right? Okay. And even Jesus said to them, your father is of the devil. Woo. Thank God there's an age of accountability, right? So that's why all children's names are already written in the book of life. So when they die, they go home. But then there's an age of accountability, because there's no children in hell. Amen, there's no children in hell. If you talk to people who have been there, there's no children in hell. Of course, there isn't one unbeliever in hell either. Everyone that's there is a believer. Hallelujah. So there had to be, something had to happen so that self could get separated. That's why we must be what? Born again. Ooh. Because everybody is born with a character, that specific character of God, but it just hasn't been awakened yet. That's why everybody's different. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, go to John 3. Is everybody there? Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. You know why? Because he didn't want anybody to know him. Man, I ain't getting near Jesus. If I go near Jesus during the day, you know why? Self was in the way. He was afraid what they might think of him. He was afraid he might lose his position. But you know what? No one else went to him at night. Amen? He said, you know, there's something about this guy that I like. Because Nicodemus was an upright man. Oh, hallelujah. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. Now listen, for someone who was a Pharisee to say Rabbi, or means teacher, ooh, that was humbling yourself. He says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Woo. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can that man be born when he is old? Mr. Spirituality. Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now, I know this was a serious question. I mean, if, to him, this was serious. How can a man be born? Does he, I mean, I can't fit. I kill her. Ain't no way, man. How can this happen? You got to understand, he was thinking carnally, wasn't he? Jesus was trying to bring him to another level. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Ooh. That which is born of self is self. And that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we know here because that people had to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the what? Spirit. So that caused Nicodemus to have a totally different outlook on things. Go to John 1. Oh, hallelujah. So we know that the flesh profits everything? Nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Nada. Now verse 10. John chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of what? But of God. Not born of blood. Now, remember something. This is very powerful. Because the Bible says, now I want to go back to Adam and Eve for a second. Adam and Eve were created eternally. So Adam or Eve could not trip and bleed to death. They couldn't trip and fall and bleed to death, could they? Because they didn't have blood. They were glorified. Is everybody with me? Okay. The Bible says after the powers of Satan took over, they changed, didn't they? The prince of power of air. Amen? So everything changed, didn't it? Now, the Bible says in the book of Leviticus that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So, it says here that they were what? Who were born not of the blood. That's the natural life support system, isn't it? Amen? They weren't born according to the natural arena. It says, nor the will of the flesh, the life of the flesh. The will of the flesh, in other words, like lust. Hello? Lust. They weren't born according to the life support system. They weren't born out of lust, who are not born out of lust. Is everybody with me? Okay. Nor the will of what? Man. The natural reproduction. Amen. But they were born of what? God, in other words, by spirit. So here's a whole arena, because all the rest of these are representation of self. Now we see that he's saying this is not there, but they had nothing to do. They weren't born according to the natural life support system. They weren't born according to flesh, and they weren't born according to the will of man or according to the natural reproduction. They were born of God by spirit. And all self has been separated from them. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now go to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Everybody all right? Bless you, Master. Okay. Thank you. Genesis 25 and verse 21. You know, one of the things that the Lord did when Adam and Eve were removed from the garden where there was fellowship because of their fall, God couldn't associate with self. Amen? Because self was a representation of the child of who? The devil. Ooh. So what did he have to do? He had to kill an animal and put a skin around them representing blood so he could commune with them. Life for what? Life. Is everybody with me? So God actually did the first sacrifice, didn't he? He did the first sacrifice. He killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve with skin. And what did he redo? You know what he did? He restored to them the promise of dominion, fruitfulness. Has everybody got it? Now, they were under Satan's rule, weren't they? Because Satan ruled over them now. But he still gave them favor, didn't he? He restored to them his promise to be fruitful and what? Multiply. Is everybody with me? The one thing that they lost, of course, they didn't have the dominion over the fish anymore. So they couldn't ride Moby Dick when they wanted to. They couldn't go, you know, skiing with the dolphins anymore. They lost those dominions, but they still had dominion and authority, but not over the air or over the powers of darkness. They lost everything else. Now they were dominion of mankind. Amen? They became mommy and daddy of mankind. So right then and there in the garden, God showed Adam and Eve how to please Him with the correct sacrifice. Amen? Okay. So one of the things that had happened was God restored the promise that He said to be fruitful and multiply according to their birthright. Is everybody with me? But it wasn't the fullness of their birthright, was it? Because they lost it. Okay. He gives us an example in Genesis 25, 21. 25, 21. Is everybody there? Good. I'll be there in a second. Here we go. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? Both children in her were, you know, they were fighting. You know? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Ooh. That means the first one out of the womb is going to become a servant to the second one out of the womb. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when his wife bore these children. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he ate of his game. He fed him. Hello. I love Esau. Come on, what are we eating? But Rebekah loved Jacob. I'm telling you, Mama knows best. Now, Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called, therefore, his name was called what? Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, man, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob to fulfill self. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, and he was full now. And he came to his senses. And he arose and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. He hated his birthright. Actually, what he did was he was upset with himself. He sold his birthright for something to eat. Wow. Now, prophecy was being fulfilled, wasn't it? What the Lord had said. The older will serve the what? Younger. By what? Selling his birthright. Oh, now go back to Genesis 3. You know, the fight was in the womb. It was a fight over his birthright. It was a fight over good and evil. Jacob grabbed Esau's heel, didn't he? He grabbed his heel. Yo, come here. He was fighting for his birthright in the womb. Because he was the chosen, wasn't he? Mama prayed him in. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Hello. What happened? They lost their birthright. They sold their birthright to fulfill what? Self. Oh, the devil tricked them. He knew that if they would eat, they sold their birthright. Does everybody understand that? What was the birthright? Eternal life. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves on themselves and made themselves coverings. Amen? Now, they ate and lost their birthright. They lost eternity. Now go to verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his what? Heel, representation of fight. Does everybody understand that the same fight that was in the womb already occurred? Was prophetic for what was going to happen. Does everybody understand that? And how was that going to happen? With Jesus. Why? Jesus came to restore our what? Birthright. Does everybody got it? Jesus came to restore our what? Our birthright. So this was prophetic of what was going to happen. God already said it. Because nothing happens unless he speaks it in. Amen? That's why he had the prophets and so forth. Oh, hallelujah. The heel. Okay, the curse and the serpent, judgment. The heel is the fight. And man became flesh, didn't they? They are associated between self and flesh. That's when man became flesh, didn't they? Amen? Because now the life of the flesh was in the blood. Self and flesh were now associated with one another. Hello? Cool. What did they do? They became mortals and lost immortality. They became mortals and lost immortality. Now look at what happened. Watch this. In verse 16. And to the woman he said, you will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. I won't go there. Hallelujah. Then to Adam he said, because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Boy, things aren't looking too good right now. Curse is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread. In other words, you're going to have flesh. This is a part of flesh living, isn't it? Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and for dust you shall what? Return. And then Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living, and also for Adam and Eve the Lord made tunics of skin and what? Clothed them, didn't he? To what? Restore. Restore part of their birthright. But the main part of their birthright they lost was eternal life. Hallelujah. And if you want to know what happened to Adam and Eve, you'll have to catch another time. They're home, okay? Praise God. Jesus went and rescued them. Go to Romans 8. Is everybody all right? So do you see the association? The purpose of being born again was to be severed from self. Amen? And you see the association between self and flesh. Right? Right? Cool. Romans 8. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the... So those who live according to self set their minds on the things of the flesh. Amen? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. So living your life according to yourself is death, isn't it? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of y'all want life and peace? Then come out of yourself. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it hates the ways of God. It is rebellious to the ways of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Now, you know, and we've gone through this already. How many times have, you know, something happened and the first reaction is, ooh. Something happens, you want to shoot back right away. You want vengeance! You want to be right and justified and everybody to know that you're right. Hello? That's the first thing that comes to you. Why? Because self still lives in here. Amen? Still there. And then when the Holy Ghost kicks in, he elbows you, right? Says, come on. Come out of yourself. I'm here. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, your first reaction would get you in trouble every time. So as soon as you get ready to... then, yes. Okay, I'm glad I didn't do that. But then there's those times when you do it. And then you go, oh, why did I do that? I knew the Holy Ghost was telling me the whole time. But thank God for repentance. Amen. Thank God for Jesus standing in the gap for us. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. So then those, in verse 8, who are in the flesh cannot please God. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God. Now I want you to see the difference here. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, the Spirit of who? God dwells in you. Now he says something. Now, if anyone does not have the what? Spirit of Christ, who? He is not his. So there's a difference there, isn't there? I really believe that this was a not correctly translated in that arena. And I believe it's supposed to be the Spirit from God. Does everybody understand that? Because the Spirit of God and Christ should be, the Christ was the same. Now understand this, the Spirit of God represents God the Father. But Jesus said, I will pray to the Father that he will send his Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's something different here though. Because he's talking about the Christ now. In other words, if the Spirit of God, because he was acknowledging him as God, right? Because Jesus was God. Dwells in you. But then he says, But if the Spirit of Christ dwells, why? Because that's his character. Has everybody got it? See, because the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, but he was not the Spirit of Christ, was he? Even though he was God, but there was a difference. Because the Spirit of Christ put on flesh and came. And that's why he knows everything about me and you. He knows the sins. Amen? He knows what you and I go through now. Now the Spirit of Christ is a representation of God's character that came into the natural realm. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So that's why we have the goal. Now, who expressed the Spirit of Christ? The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go a little further. Is everybody okay? Now, in verse 10, he says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Mortal bodies." Oh. Because that's what was lost, right? Why? Because your inheritance has been restored. Your inheritance has been restored, isn't it? Your birthright has been restored through Christ and only through him. Or else you'd continue to have a mortal body. Humans have mortal bodies. That's that. Amen? But you and I got a brand new suit waiting in the closet. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, go to the Spirit of God, right? From the Father. He says, the Spirit of Christ, in other words, you and I have been restored now. Our birthright has been restored. Image and likeness of the character. The Holy Spirit is the supporting agent of that new character that's in you. Is everybody with me? He's the supporting agent. He's the character of Christ. Amen? The anointed one and his anointing. Is everybody with me? What does the Holy Spirit do? He expresses, supports the new character that's in you, doesn't he? See, the one that you were born again with, the one that was awakened. See, you're actually born with the character of God. Everybody has a specific character. Remember, we talked about already that the end result will be the same for everyone, but God can use you in different areas according to your character. Amen? But the end result is the same. Whether it be in ministry or street ministry or just being an example, how you could be a mom, a dad, whatever. However, God is going to use you in that character. Some of us can reach bikers. Some of us can reach prostitutes. Some of us can reach whatever, drug addicts. Some of us can reach homosexuals. Whatever it is that God has allowed you in your character that has been brand new now, he'll take that which was self, amen, and turn it around to the good, won't he? He, the Holy Spirit, will develop your character according to what's needed. Is everybody with me? Amen. Okay. Because he knows exactly. Remember the Bible says about we are all the body of Christ, but we're not all the feet, we're not all the hands, we're not all the eyes, and so forth. Everybody has a specific function. That's why God predestined us for that, didn't he? Amen. And there isn't one person who is alike. Even twins aren't alike. There's still a difference in their character in some way or another. Even though outwardly it may seem like they're identical. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Okay. So we see here now that the Holy Spirit is a supporting agent of the new created character of the Spirit, not of the flesh or not of self. Now in verse 12 it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh or to self to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God." Why? Now you're in his likeness, aren't you? You're in his image and likeness. Is everybody with me? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. The Spirit himself, what? Bears witness with our spirit or our new character that we are children of God. So he's the one that is a supporting agent, isn't he? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and if joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified with him. In other words, the sleeper has been awakened in us. The Spirit bear witness of the new creation of the character that was predestined to be in me and you. The birth character. Now look at verse 26. Just to give you an expression of the Holy Spirit and his assistance with us. What does it say? Likewise, the what? Spirit also helps in our what? Weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we see here that not only is the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God and supporting our new character, separating us from self, but he also helps us in our weaknesses, doesn't he? Amen. That's why tongues is so important, because our strongest struggle is prayer. Man, our flesh just hates prayer. Self hates to pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. God bless everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for the new car that's coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. That's flesh prayer. Self prayer. No intercession. No groaning or travailing. No holy rolling. No bajara mi ambrojo soto casia. Oh, you know, some people don't want to pray in tongues because they want control. Man, if I don't know what I'm doing, I ain't getting involved. And the devil's got it so wound up in fear that they can't get filled and the gift can't manifest through them. God gives all tongues. Amen? Amen. When a baby comes out of a womb, what's it do? Wah! Man, when you get born again, Bahatari! Hallelujah. Man, I got a new language. You ain't shutting me up. I don't know what I'm saying, but praise God. I'm finally out of the way. The devil doesn't know it either, though. Oh, praise God. Okay, Titus 3. Titus chapter 3. Oh, praise God. I haven't even... Oh, man, what time is it? Whew. Titus chapter 3. If I start moving and... If I start teaching this in the Holy Ghost, just write the interpretation down, because we're running out of time. Titus chapter 3. In verse 3. For we ourselves were also once what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of who? The Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see that there's the regeneration. Now look at, I'm going to go a little further. In verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm when? Constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good fruits or good works. Does everybody see? These things are good and profitable to who? To men. Go to Hebrews 3. that we should maintain good fruits or good works. Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 12, Hebrews 3 and verse 12, would you read it with me? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of who? Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Partakers of Christ. That's that character, isn't it? While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Now self loves to rebel. Remember, it hates the things of God. It hates to submit to things of God. Amen. So we are partakers if we hold. Amen. Isn't that the first thing that comes to you? Rebellion? Man, you got to put rebellion under your feet, don't you? It's associated with self. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Is everybody okay? Self is associated with flesh, isn't it? Proverbs 14 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? A wise man fears and departs from evil. Say it again. A wise man fears and departs from evil. One more time. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Oh, I know how to do all that. I'm self-confident. See, the enemy always likes to put you in a position that you rely on yourself. That's self-confident. And God says, you're a fool. You're a fool. You know, even before teachings and so forth, I get attacked by the devil. He says, come on, you know this stuff. What is he trying to do? Promote self-confident. I'm like, no, I don't. I have to sever myself and empty myself because I have to totally rely on him. Amen? That's why the Bible says deny yourself, right? Because if you're going to do it according to your talents, see, people are, even people, look at all the talents that God has granted people out there. And they're playing music for the devil. Amen? They're doing all kinds of stuff for the devil. And what's happening? They're promoting who? Self. No matter what kind of talent it is, it's promoting self. That's why we must come to a point where we labor unto the Lord so that you're not relying on your talent, you're relying on Him to use you. Amen? So that talent could be pure and perfected according to His will and not ours. That's where people become comfortable and complacent. They begin to rely on their own self and their talents instead of relying on God. And they become involved in an independent spirit and self-confidence and rebellious. They become rebellious. That's one of the sure fruits of self. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. You know, you think about it. In all those areas where flesh has been manifested, self has been manifested, you know? Look at what Paul said. Go to Romans 7. Do you want to hear this? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, then shake that sleepy spirit. Remember, self just wants to go home, sit in front of a TV, and eat popcorn. After service. Hallelujah. Romans 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's a powerful statement Paul makes. Man, I'm sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. We've all said that. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I to do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now what's self associated with? Hello. Amen. Has everybody got it? It promotes sin. Me, myself, and I. For I know that in me, come on, look at this one. This is powerful. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is what? In my flesh. Now he associates, doesn't he? Both of them together. He says, I know in me. He says, man, in my flesh, that's me. Self and flesh. I know that in me. I mean, in my flesh. Nothing good dwells. Why? Because the flesh profits nothing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I don't know. I cannot find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now this is Paul writing this. Spirit-filled. Paul, tongue-speaking, casting out devils, been brought to heaven, personal encounter with God Almighty. Something was still wrong. Self. Still had self. I mean, he begged the Lord to kill him, didn't he? No, what did he do? He begged him to what? Remove that what? Infirmity. But see, if God removed that infirmity, you'd have to kill him. Because it was self associated with flesh. Amen? So in other words, he was begging God to kill him. Kill me. Okay. In verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of what? Sin, which is in my members. What's it doing? Bringing you to self. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Whew. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So who does he attribute his deliverance from self to? Christ, what? The anointed one and his anointing, the character of Christ that dwells in him by the Holy Ghost. Promoting the character that has been created forth, the new character of God Almighty. Amen? That new character from him to you. This is where you are what? Born again. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Is everybody okay? Glory to God. Glory. Almost there. In verse 15. Matthew 7 and 15. What does it say? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them. You know what's in me and you? Two trees. Hello? You got two trees in you now, the same thing that was in the garden. Self was in the garden, wasn't it? Amen. And Christ was in the garden. Now you've got self in you and Christ in you. Now what you eat is what you become. What you eat is what will bear fruit. Amen? So that's why we must make that choice every single day. Beware of self. It says false prophets. Beware of self. religious spirits. Beware. And you don't like, let me tell you, people of the self will lie to self, won't it? You know, man, you lie to yourself all day long. Try and convince yourself to do this. Well, who's telling you? Man, you'd be eating off that tree. Yes. You're eating off that tree. Oh, and self was getting promoted. Is everybody with me? Come on, we all talk to ourselves, don't we? That's because there's two trees in you. Hello? One says, come on this way. The other one says, no, be rebellious. One wants to do the right thing. The other one says, no. The other one's screaming and kicking, me, myself, and I. And then the flesh is manifesting whatever is ruling. Because the flesh produces the fruit. That's where it's manifested. Amen? So beware of self and religious spirits. Good tree, bad tree. You know them by their fruit, won't you? Self and flesh connected are one. That's why we must deny self. See, when you deny self, flesh is crucified, isn't it? Amen? Flesh is crucified. Go to Galatians 5. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians 5. So there is an area where there is true fruitfulness. And the true fruitfulness comes from the Spirit of truth. It is the tree of life. In Galatians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Good. In verse 22, would you read it with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In other words, control over self. Amen? Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Why? Because that's promoting self, isn't it? The flesh. That's called the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? These are fruits associated with the Spirit of truth. The born-again character. Remember, self is unfruitful. Christ is fruitful. Amen. Go to verse 16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the lust of self. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, or self, amen, are evident, which are what? Adultery. Fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfishness, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, we see here something very powerful. Those who are living a selfish life will not inherit the kingdom of God, will they? Oh, hallelujah. You know how many, you know, look at how many times we get angry at something, right? Man, one time I was out, it was dark out, and it was hot out, and I was working on my wife's brakes, right? And man, it's cooking out there, and the mosquitoes are bzzz and biting me, and I'm like, oh, man, I didn't have enough money to bring the car in the shop. I was a born-again believer. Had to get my wife brakes done so that she could get to work. And I'm working on this thing, and I'm getting frustrated. This nut wouldn't come off, and it was the wrong one I was working on anyways. Couldn't see 2 feet in front of me. I'm working on this thing. I'm finally getting frustrated. And I said, that's it. I'm all angry, and poof, the thing snaps. Pops me in the mouth. My tooth falls out. I was so angry I wanted to smash that tooth. I'm telling you, I busted my tooth. And I started talking like that. And I'm thinking, man, how can I go preach? I'm going to spit on everybody. I come in the house with all this blood all over me. Mama's over there over at the dishes, washing dishes. I open my mouth and she laughs at me. Look at you. I wanted to cry. I'm thinking, I'm going to the jail. How can I go in there? Spitting on everybody. I couldn't do that. I'm thinking, how are they going to understand? You know, I wasn't accustomed to speaking with no front tooth. I was trying to read the word. It just didn't sound right. Man, and I prayed. I was, oh, Lord, you know, help me. I'm sorry because I got in the flesh. Forgive me. The next morning, I called these places. Everybody. I picked up the tooth and I put it in my pocket. I wanted to preserve it. I don't remember if I put it in the refrigerator. I don't know. But anyways, I wanted to preserve it. I knew it had to have water to live. So I get up in the morning. I'm looking in the yellow pages and I'm trying to find some emergency dentist. You know? And I call this one place and he says, well, for $25, I said, man, that's all I got is $25. I mean, that's all I had. He said, well, come on in and I'll do an x-ray for you for $25 and we'll see what we can do. I said, cool. He checks me out. He says, aren't you in pain? See, the first thing that happened, I kept saying, no pain in Jesus' name. He said, that's busted so close to your root. I said, no, I'm not in pain. And he's looking at me and I put it in my pocket. I said, listen, I have my tooth right here. Can't you just like put it back in? He looks at me and he says, you can't do that. So I thought, well, maybe I'll throw it down. I said, no, I'll put it back in my pocket. I put the tooth back in my pocket as I was spitting on him. And he says, well, it's going to cost you about $600 or whatever it was to have that fixed. I'm thinking, I don't have $600. So he says, you want to make an appointment? I said, nope. I got off my chair, I went home and I prayed again. I said, Lord, you got to help me with this. I can't live like, this is crazy. I can't speak this way. I sound funny and I look funny. My mother-in-law was laughing at me. Did you see her laugh at me? I looked funny. Anyways, I'm praying and all of a sudden I called this one ministry and they led me to this other one. And this guy says, man, there's a dentist that might help you. I said, cool, call him for me. This is an emergency. So anyways, I get the guy on the phone. I'm begging him, please help me. He says, come on in. I said, cool. Now, I think it was the holidays were just coming or something. And like everybody was going on vacation. I don't remember what holiday it was. So I was like, man, nobody's going to be around. I got to spend all this time, you know, dripping, drooling out of my mouth and whatever. So, and all because I was in the flesh. Amen. And I kept going, oh man, how stupid could I have been? Why not just settle down, rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, and do this? I should have just had my wife stay in the next day. It would have been cheaper. Huh? But I was in the flesh, didn't see things through. And I called this doctor. I went in to go see him. And I'm praying out there, oh, in the waiting room, help me, Lord. Help me. How much is this going to be? And I'm thinking, can he help me? And so I get in the chair and he goes, aren't you in pain? I said, no, I'm not in pain. I said, no pain in Jesus' name. He says, well, man, he says, you know, that's you're going to need to grind that down. You're going to need to have this cap. That's going to be this, that, and whatever. I said, oh, come on. And so he walked away, went in the other room because I brought my x-rays with me. I said, Lord, please, no pain in Jesus' name, no needles, and please fix my tooth. I'm trusting in you. You know it's what. The guy comes back in the room. He says, you know, I really don't. He says, the only thing I can, I have to mold this thing and crown it and do all kinds of stuff. I said, well, wait a minute. I have my tooth with me. Can't you? And he looked at it and he says, oh man, maybe we can do something. We'll try it. So he comes out and he puts the stuff on it and he stuffs it back in my mouth. And I'm thinking, wow. And he says, does that feel all right? I said, wonderful. And he put this blue light on it and stuff. And a few minutes later, man, I had my tooth back. I was thinking, God, I wanted to kiss this guy. You know, I was never so happy to have a toothpick in my mouth. And then I got done, and I mean, you know how your tongue is so sensitive to things, you know? And I felt, man, it feels good. It's like my normal tooth. Whoa, I was so happy and stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, no, what's he going to charge me? And I get out, and I'm like, oh, man. And so I said, well, how much? He says, nothing. I said, nothing? He said, yeah, nothing. Man, I hugged him. Thank you. Thank you. See, God rescues us. Amen? God rescues us. But this whole thing was a result. I had to go through all that stuff because I got in the flesh. Amen? All that because I got in the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Now, and it's still, no, it came off. I had to get it redone. But it was about a year later. Praise God. Now, go to Galatians 3. A couple more scriptures, we're done. You don't mind, do you? Galatians chapter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth or the spirit of truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the flesh or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by what? Flesh or self? You know how many people have started wonderfully in the Spirit, then they got self-confident. And then the next thing you know, now their works are, they're in the flesh. And they wonder why they struggle. They wonder why things aren't happening. They wonder why God's causing them to wait even longer. Because they started off in the Spirit and went to the flesh. Amen? They became self-confident. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. That's called backsliding, isn't it? Amen. Go to Galatians 6 while we're in Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to himself, his flesh, will what? Reap of the flesh. And what? Reap of what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So he who sows to himself is going to reap corruption, isn't he? And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Sowing to the flesh, sowing to self, will reap corruption. Lying and accusing, manipulating, stealing, not submitting, fornication, etc. All of these things are associated with the fruits of self, aren't they? Protecting self is sowing in the flesh. Amen? Blaming others for your backsliding, moving out of God's timing. All of these things are sowing to the flesh. Everybody got it? And now there's always a reaping of corruption. And I'm going to close at Ephesians 5. Oh, hallelujah. So there is true fruitfulness, isn't it? True fruitfulness comes from the Spirit of truth. Amen? The Spirit of truth. That means you're eating from the tree of life and not from the tree of death, which is self. And you will bear fruits according to the Spirit of truth. And Ephesians 5, sorry. I'm skipping a few scriptures here, so. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Oh, hallelujah. Read this with me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and what? Christ will give you light. Now come on, go a little further. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That is denying self, isn't it? Amen? So there are true fruits, true fruitfulness that comes forth by denying yourself, isn't there? Remember, the self and the flesh are associated with one another. But as you and I are led by the Spirit, the flesh gets crucified so it can be utilized by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Master, in the name of Jesus, that you'll continue to bring us revelation of denying self. Lord, I thank you for this period of time of exposing self. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Lord, you are awesome and you are mighty. You denied yourself. Far be it then. We should not deny ourselves. So Lord, we commit to you all things. I ask that the seed that was imparted today grow and bear fruit. And that we be led by your Spirit so that our flesh would be crucified. And that Christ, the new character, would have his way. Regenerated by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.